The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Hallelujah. Today I'm starting a teaching on these ministering spirits. Hallelujah. It's a series on angels. Praise God. I'm talking about angels today. You want to learn about angels? Hebrews chapter 12 verse 22. So we're going to take it very easy. I'm going to cover some grounds I've covered previously today. Just lay foundation and we leave it at that. Then we'll pick up from there next week. Okay, we have the whole month. So maybe we don't rush. We just take it easy. Hebrews 12 verse 22. He said, but you are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to what? An innumerable company of angels. He said, we have come. And so when we came into Zion, of course, I've explained what that means, right? Remember? When we say we came into Zion, we're talking about when we came into Christ. Are you here? Maybe we still have to look at that sometime in this series. But then, when we came into Zion, one of the things that we came to is that we came to angels. And not one, not two, but to many. We came to an innumerable company of angels. So right there in Zion, there are angels for you. And so today and this month, I'm going to be taking you and teaching you on these very beings that we have come to. The reason I'm going to teach on this is, one, you need to understand who they are, what they do for you, and perhaps what they cannot do for you. And then to set some boundaries. Because a lot of things have really gone out of proportion. A lot of people are actually basing all their ministry on angels. I'm going to get to that in this series. So you need to know who they are, what they can do, what they cannot do. What they cannot do. And answer some questions in the Bible concerning angels. Hallelujah. Praise God. What they cannot do. So we'll start from somewhere. Let's start with the origin of angels. Okay? How did these beings come about? Okay. Now some people erroneously think that, or you never thought about it. Some people think angels are just angels. Maybe they're like God. No one created them. In Psalm 148 from verse 1, the psalmist began to call on us to give glory to God. He said, praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the highest. Okay? He said, praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. So he said, angels, you praise God. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise ye him, all the stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens. And ye waters that are above the heavens. Now verse 5 is where I'm going to. Let them, who are the them? Everybody has mentioned all the while, right? Let them praise the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. So first of all, I want to say that angels are created beings. They not just manifest from anywhere. They are created beings. And say, created by who? Created by God. Of course, God is the creator. In John chapter 1 from verse 1, John wrote, he said, in the beginning was the Word. He said the Word was with God and the Word was God. In verse 2, he said the same was in the beginning with God. Now verse 3 is the emphasis. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So all things, that includes angelic beings. I see here this morning. Angelic beings were made by him. In Colossians 1 verse 16. So God created angels. That's what I'm trying to say. Colossians 1 verse 16. He said, by him we are all things created. Now he didn't stop there. This one is very emphatic. He didn't stop at saying all things. He said that are in heaven. So angels are in heaven. At least so you believe, right? Huh? And that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. This refers to angels. All things were created by him and for him. And so everything was created by God, angels inclusive. angels inclusive. So God made angels. Angels did not just start manifesting. They are his creation. Are you still here? Angels are the creation of God. Now the question people normally ask is, because there's a lot of debate around along this area, and I know you might come around, if I've not come across it, you might come across it later, when we are angels created. And people have tried to say a lot of things, and I don't know if you've heard of people that teach a pre-Adamic era. Have you heard of that? Yeah? That there were people who were on earth before Adam. Listen, let me give you advice. Try to stay with the word of God. There are extra biblical materials that you can lay your hands on to confuse you. I don't know where all these are coming from. Book of Enoch. Have you seen the book? Don't see it. I'm not saying this, but and why Book of Enoch is a very controversial book is because I think Peter also, Abi Jude rather, quoted from the book. Okay? If you read Jude, when he said it quoted from that book of Enoch. So a lot of people, because Jude quoted from it, they believe Jude quoted from it actually. And so they've bounced on it and are devouring it and taking things from there. And that's some of the places which come up with things like that was the pre-Adamic era. So some people believe that before that there were people who were on earth, and then they raise questions like, who did Cain marry? Or who did Abel marry? You get the point? If there were no people on earth before Adam, who then did Abel marry? Hallelujah. You want the answer? Eh? Very well. You are good students. You don't need the answer. Now, let me say this thing to you. I've taught you this. Don't be someone that just has an itching ear to hear things that the Bible does not give us. You see, I'm content with the word of God. Amen. The word of God is word of God. What it doesn't provide, even though I have the answer. And the answer is not difficult to find. You just need to think. Because it is, when you read Genesis 1, 2, 3, you will assume that those things happened in 3 days. You get the point? But when you read Genesis 2 and 3, you find out that by the time Cain and Abel came, they just summarize the story, and Cain and Abel was born, and then Cain and Abel now went, and then Seth now came. You will study the Bible to find out that Adam had many children. You know, right? Had many children. And so the account of Genesis 3 and Genesis 4, from Genesis 4 down, did not just happen in one day. It wasn't one day Cain and Abel were born. It wasn't one day they killed themselves. This took time. So life was already going on earth. I'll just leave it at that for you to figure things out. Amen? Because you should realize that these guys lived very, very long. You remember? Sometimes to 800 years, 700 years. So you don't even know whether Cain was not about 400 years when he killed Abel. My point is that life was already on earth by then. And so please kill the idea of a pre-existence of man before Adam. The Bible, why do you say that? The epistle said the first man, Adam. That's where I'm standing on. The solid rock. Hallelujah. The first man, Adam. But then the question is, when we are angels created? I'm going to try to give an answer to that. The Bible does not specifically state, okay, in a way, the day or time they were created, but we can trace it. In Genesis chapter 2, from verse 1, the Bible was talking about the creation, and it said, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. That's what I want to show you. All the hosts of them. All the hosts of them. So part of what featured in the creation of the heavens were the hosts. Put up like other translations. Let's look at other translations of this verse 1. King James said all the hosts of them. NLT says everything in them. Okay. Another one amplified or anything. NIV said everything. Okay. Amplified. Let's see. So it tells everything at the end. We are finished and all the hosts of them. Okay. Go to the next verse. That's verse 2. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made and rested. And so, of course, because we see God rested on the seventh day from everything he has made, that automatically tells you that the creation of angels would have happened before now. Are you here? Are you here? And that tells you that Another thing you take note of is that it obviously happened before the sixth day, because man was the last thing God created. So we can figure, we can place it around when God made the heavens. I get to the point? So he made the heavens and the host of them. And so when angels were created by God, and it was when he made the heavens. The important thing I wanted to see why I talked about when they were created is that they were made before man. And this is very interesting, because when we get to why angels are created, I think this is better. It's sounding better. Well, guess why angels were created? You will realize that, well, I'm running ahead of myself, but angels were created for man. I'll still get to that. But then it's interesting for me when I go to this point, I began to bless God to see that even before man was created, angels were already created ahead of time to serve man. Do you get the point? It wasn't like God created man and told man, please hold on, let me put things in order. He already put everything in order before he brought man. Hallelujah. So, but then angels were created way before man came. Okay, so that's the origin. It was, they were made. But what you need to know about the origin of angels, that they were made by God. They were created. They are not just, they did not just manifest. They are not like God that came from nowhere. They have an origin. Their origin is that they were created. They're created beings, created by God. And one of these you need to know about angels. Okay, let me just say a few things about their nature. In Hebrews chapter 1 verse 7, he said, he maketh his angels, spirits and his ministers. Now, whenever I go to this part, I always like explaining. You know this, some people say, you know, we did a sticker some years ago. And we wrote, he maketh his angels wings, or spirits rather, and his ministers a flame of fire. And we now wrote, I'm on fire for God. Well, that's not what the scripture is saying. You can be on fire for God, but that's not his verse. When the Bible says he makes his angels spirits and makes his ministers a flame of fire, he's referring to the same thing. Do you get the point? I get the point? When he refers to ministers, those ministers, the word minister means servant, he was referring to angels. So angels in their nature, they are made spirits. So the nature of angels is that they are spirits. If you get to verse 14, which is where we get our topic from, he says, are they not all ministering spirits? Are they not all ministering spirits? Sent forth to minister. So angels in their nature are created to be spirits. That shows that they don't actually exist in this bodily form like we know. It's not like they don't have a body. It's not like they don't. It's not like they cannot appear as man. But then they don't have a body. Do you understand? They don't have flesh. They don't have this structure, this body that we have. They don't have this body that we have. That's why maybe by next week, when I start talking about angelic appearances, that'll be next week, you will find out that an angel can actually take on different forms. You get the point? And you find that in the Bible. I'll talk about that next week. The Bible said, when the Bible was talking about hospitality, he said we should be hospitable because some people have unknowingly entertained angels. So we've seen angels appear in the Bible as men. Have you seen that? Where they met Abraham and even ate in his house. I get the point. So they can take on a form, but they don't have that spirit. That's what the Bible said. He makes his angels spirits. He makes them spirits. And one other thing I like you to note about the nature of angels is that angels are powerful. They're strong. They're strong. And I'm saying all these things because by the time I get to the root of the matter, you understand why I'm laying on this foundation. Angels are created with strength. They are powerful. Angels are strong beings. They can do many things. They can do things that you can't think about. They can be here and next minute they are there. That's angels for you. An angel can bring down this entire building in a split of a second. They are created with that kind of strength. And the Bible tells us in Psalm 103 verse 20, he refers to angels as angels that as beings that excel in strength. He said, bless the Lord, these angels that excel in strength. So angels are created that powerful. They are created with strength. But you will see why. That's when we get to the root of the matter, you see why. So they are created with strength, they are created with power, they are not weak beings. They are created with abilities that naturally man cannot use. Are you here? Okay, let me leave it at that. another thing you know about the nature of angels is, okay, let me ask before I get to the matter. Can angels marry? Eh? You say, why you ask? Does it matter? It matters. I'm going to show you where it matters. I'm going to ask a question. I will not answer it today and answer it next week. But can angels marry? Can they have children? Can they? And so, if they can't, and I'll show you the Bible, if you believe they can't, that place the Bible said in Genesis is that the sons of God married the daughters of men. You know the place? And it is believed about angels, right? Eh? It's believed that angels married men, women, and they gave birth to giants. Well, next week I'll talk about that. But then the question is, can angels marry? Do they reproduce? Jesus was talking about this. He hinted it in Matthew 22 from verse 24. Jesus gave a very powerful answer. Even though that wasn't the discourse, but then he chipped it in and it's a blessing. They met Jesus and said, Master, Moses said, if a man die, you know, these guys are very cunning, having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now, there were with us seven brethren. Now, they just forged this story to put Jesus in trouble. Hallelujah. And the first way he had married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left his wife unto his brother. Likewise, the second also, and the third, and unto the seventh. Do you understand their story? A man got married, died, didn't have children. These guys are very cunning. You know, sometimes when I read the Bible, I just thank God for the wisdom of God. Jesus was so wise. He just knows what to tell you at any time. Hallelujah. And I pray for you that you the wisdom of God will get expression in you. A lot of people, sometimes there are some things we face in life, just the wisdom of God that will get out of that mess. Just like when I met Jesus about the adulterous, about we caught a woman in adultery. There was no way you would have escaped that. If Jesus says, stone that woman, she's guilty, they'll say, after we preach in love. If Jesus said, don't stone her, they'll say, so you are going against the law of Moses. So, in that situation, you are doomed. Hallelujah. The wisdom of God. Maybe I'll do a series on that one of these days. The wisdom of God. Because one of the things I always kept praying is, I am wise in the wisdom of God. I'm wise in the wisdom of God. And wise in the wisdom of God. Anyway, that's by the way. So, unto the second, unto the third. So, they wanted to trap him. And last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For all of them had married her. Very smart question. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Who will now marry her? Jesus answered and said unto them, you do err not to do in the scriptures nor the power of God. He said, verse 30, for in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given. But that means you should get married right here. Amen. Do you get the point? Marry here. Do you understand? Because when we get there. So when are you getting married? Very soon. He said, they neither marry nor given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. Please note, I've seen people pounce on this verse to try to say that. Some people are, it's a very terrible theology, I don't know where it's coming from, that when people die and the resurrection money that we become angels. That's not what the Bible is saying here. You hear the point? He was saying that they'll be as the angels in a particular context. Which context is that? That they will not marry and they cannot be given in marriage. Are you getting it? So this answers our question that angels do not marry and they cannot reproduce. Okay, well, are demons fallen angels? Well, but they're fallen angels, right? If demons are fallen angels and angels cannot marry, I'm just thinking, and angels cannot marry and they cannot reproduce, can someone have spirit husband? Just thinking aloud. Praise God. Well, that's by the way. So they don't marry. Can you have a spirit husband? Can you have a spirit wife? And let me say this to you. I believe that demons can oppress people. And I may touch it today. You know, right? Demons can oppress people's generation. They can mess them up. They can even appear in their dream and show them pictures. But the best thing you must know about the devil is that he's a liar. The father of all of them. And he makes you believe you're married and that you even have children there. One case we handled, the girl was giving us the names of the children she has in the kingdom of darkness. I said, "Have you ever seen them?" He said, "No, it's only when I sleep that I see them." And sometimes these things, these are just demons. And why you shouldn't say, "But sir, they happen." No. They look like they happen. The word of God is the bias. It's my bias. You get the point? But the Bible never said they happen. I'm not saying such things don't. Some things like that happen. I've seen cases where the girl will be sleeping with a particular man in the dream every night, and then she cannot get married. Every marriage that comes around her to scatter. I've seen such cases. Well, and that doesn't make you believe the spirit husband. Well, I want you to know that demons have no right to be married. Do you get the point? They have no right to be married. Hallelujah. And so when you find such things happening around you, I'll tell you what to do. If you're listening to this from anywhere, take your authority. I say, if you want to marry, marry. In the name of Jesus. This one, I love this man. He's staying. Do you get the point? And then if you are tired of those dreams, stop seeing them. So is it that easy? You don't realize that you are in charge of your dreams. You don't know. No. That kind of dreams I cannot see again. I don't see yourself seeing a man coming to you. Well, that's by the way. But they don't marry. That's a digression. They are giving in marriage. And so it means angels do not have the ability to reproduce. So it means there are no baby angels. Right? Now don't miss this. But can angels take on the form of a baby? Are you getting what I'm saying? But there are no baby angels. Angels don't hold weddings. Hallelujah. Better marry her. Marry right here. Now, one other thing I like to know about angels, which is very important. This one, if you're hearing this for the first time, it's going to it will liberate you. Angels are not all knowing. They are not all knowing. Some persons, because I'm going to correct a very strong impression, I'll start it today, and I'll take it further later. Some persons have gone into what we call angelic worship, which is a very terrible thing. Angels don't know everything. In 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 10, in fact, 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 10, the Bible says, "For of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you." Verse 11, "Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ was in them, this signified, when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow." Now verse 12, "Unto whom," so these prophets that were prophesying, who were they? Go back to verse 10. Let's so you don't miss it. "Of his salvation the prophets prophesied." Prophets have inquired and said, who are these prophets? Old Testament prophets. I've explained that, right? Put up like NLT. Let's see. This salvation was something even the prophets wanted to know more about. So they were prophets. They wanted to know about it. So the prophets of the Old Testament, we are inquiring and searching diligently to know more about salvation. Are you here? Now, go back to King James. Let's continue. Now, "Unto him it was revealed." So it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us did they minister the things which are now reported unto you. So they were told that the things they were saying and they were searching into was not for them. It was for us. Are you here? Raise your hand to remember this. It was for us that they were prophesying and speaking those things. Okay. "Which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Which things the angels desire to look into." So what are those things? The things concerning salvation, right? These things the prophets are prophesying. The Bible said the angels are desiring to look into them. So when it comes to the subject of salvation, angels are not all knowing. Please keep it somewhere in your head. This is why by the time I get to next week, when I'll be telling you about what angels do for us, you will realize that angels cannot teach. They don't have that job description to teach you anything, doctrine. There are a lot of ministries that have gone wild today because they build their knowledge on what an angel said. I'll be very hard on that next week. Because I'll talk about angelic, maybe next week or next week, I'll talk about angelic experiences and angelic manifestations and appearances and all that. But I'll show you that I'm boundaries to these things. He said, put up like NLT or any translation of this. I've not really checked with that. He said, angels. Aha. He said, even the angels are eagerly watching these things happen. Put up amplified. He said, into these things, the very angels long to look. Let me show you another scripture. In Galatians 1 verse 8, angels are not all knowing. Paul said, if we or an angel from heaven. Now, he didn't say an angel from hell. He didn't say a fallen angel. He said, angel from heaven. He said, if we preach any other thing unto you, that is not this gospel that we have been preaching. He said, let the person be accursed, even the angel. Now, when he says be accursed, the Greek word is anathema. It means you should stay away from the person. So, angels are not all knowing. I get the point? Well, some people will naturally think, and I might say, when I stand here and do proper exegesis and show you something in the Bible by proper interpretation and English language, and when I'm done and an angel appears to you in the night and says something contrary to what I said, don't listen to the angel, listen to me. You say, why? I'm going to show you. Angels don't have, he said, if they preach another thing contrary to that, let him be accursed. In fact, let me take it a step further. Ephesians 3 verse 8 said, unto me, Paul was talking about himself, who am less than the least of all saints, is the grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches. So who was he given to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ? Paul, right? That's man. Okay, let's continue. Verse 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. How will he make all men see this? By preaching, right? Okay, which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Now, verse 10. To the intent that unto the principalities and powers in the heavenly places might be known by the church. And so, it is the church that will make known to the principalities and powers the manifest with the manifold wisdom of God. Now, who are these principalities and powers? I can tell you simply, they are angels. Put up another translation. Put up amplify. Put up NLT. Let's see. He said the purpose is that through the church, the complicated many-sided wisdom of God in all its infinite variety and innumerable aspects might be made known to the angelic rulers. So it is the church and actually teach angels the wisdom of God. I get the point. Put up like NLT or another one. God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in every places. NLT translation, ESV, anyone? Okay, same thing. Rulers and authorities. Amplified made it clear. Amplified said angelic rulers. And so it is the church that will teach. Message is very fun. He said, through Christians like yourselves. Look at message. Through Christians like yourselves gathered in churches, this extraordinary plan of God is becoming known and talked about even among the angels. So it is through the church that the angels learn what is the plan of God again? Salvation, right? What is the wisdom of God? Salvation. So it is through the church that they learn these things. That's why angels cannot be trusted with doctrine. We are their teachers. Are you still here? Hallelujah. We are their teachers. We are their teachers. Because men teach angels. Let me chip this in, which I will explain for the next week. That's why I mentioned something last week. That's why you observe that when the angel met Cornelius, Acts 10 verse 5, when the angel met Cornelius, in Acts 10 verse 5, he says, send men to Joppa. The angel met him and said, send men to Joppa to come and bring Peter, to come and preach salvation to you. That's why when he met Cornelius, he didn't preach to Cornelius. He said, send men to Joppa. And that's why he noticed what he said to Cornelius when he came. He said, your prayer and your almsgiving, have been God, it has reached God. And then people act on that to think that what the Bible is trying to say is that You know, because the verse looks like your prayers. You know, Cornelius was not born again, right? So your prayers and your almsgiving has gotten to God. So because of that, he's going to make available salvation to you. But we know that's a lie, right? The epistles are so strong that we did not earn salvation. We cannot earn it. So that angel will obviously not be saying the truth. Now, there are a few things. There are three possible things. I'll tell you. Number one. It's either Cornelius. Of course, he was the only one that saw the vision. Right? It's either that was his own account. So why are you saying it's no confidence? The epistles is the epistle. And that's the foundation for doctrine. Are you here? So it's either that was his own account of the story. And it is possible that's what he got from the message. Because you know, God can speak to you. But what you interpret it to mean is based on the level of light that you have. You get it? Like I normally use this. People say they saw people in hell wearing earrings. It is possible they actually saw a place called hell. And the reason they're seeing a place called hell with fire is because that's what they understand. Right? And then they see people wearing earring and necklace because that is a definition of an unbeliever to them. Do you get what I said now? So, possibly what God is trying to say to them is that unbelievers will not make heaven, which is basic with Bible. Hallelujah. But then the only way they can understand it is that, you know, I read an Oral Roberts book. I think it was I Saw Heaven or so. And he said he saw angels with beautiful earrings and jewelries. Oral Roberts. That doesn't mean he should patronize UD. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying you should go and be buying stores from her. I'm just saying, appreciate the word of God. Amen. Since we're just lifting our hands. Yes, yes, yes. We know you. Now, why would he see that kind of thing? Because as far as he is concerned, these things mean nothing. If an African man sees a revelation of hell, people have to be on trousers in there. Now, it doesn't mean God is confused. Do you get the point? It's just your level of light. When I was teaching you on visions, which I will still touch when I get to the issue of our revelation, you see that the things that John, for instance, saw in the book of Revelation and the pictures he saw, we are just because of what he knew. Let's leave that. So, but we know. So the possible thing is that this was what Cornelius was able to pick from everything the angel said, that sent for Peter to preach salvation to you because your arms giving. So it might be his level of light playing out here. Do you get the point? Okay. Well, the Bible is very correct, right? But it has to be studied. It could also be that the angel was wrong. Well, people might say, be careful, don't say that. I want to say that angels, when it comes to doctrine, they can be wrong. What I'm saying is because I know whenever I start teaching on angels, people start having angelic appearances, and the devil can take advantage of that to cause trouble. Do you get the point? And people now begin to say crazy things like an angel said, listen, calm down. Angels can be wrong. Why can they be wrong? It's not because God is wrong, but he says it is men that they hear these things from. Hello? An idiot can be talking. You know, I heard a man of God say this, and I'm not going to expatiate on this. I'm just going to drop it. Very great man of God. And he makes it. He said, there are some things my angels cannot say to me because they are well taught. You know, but then all I'm saying is, angels are not, in fact, as a matter of fact, if you see an angel teaching, arrest the angel. Now, it's not their job decision to teach. I will talk about that next week. It's not their job decision to teach. Angels don't have that responsibility to teach. What do they do? I'll come to that next week and next 2 weeks. Are you here? But then, so if it is men that will teach them, it's men that instruct them. It's men, it's through man, through the church, that they are learning the manifold wisdom of God. If angels are actually all knowing about doctrine, it means demons too are all knowing. Because demons were once angels. Are you getting me? Are you getting what I'm saying? If angels are all knowing, then demons should be. Satan should be. But Satan did not even know about much about salvation. Do you know? The Bible said, had the prince of this world known, he wouldn't have crucified. So he didn't even know what he was doing. He didn't know that he felt he was winning. At that point, they were celebrating that Jesus is down. He's down. He's down. He's down. Finally. And then 3 days later. So he didn't know. So angels are not all knowing. That tells you that Satan is not all knowing. Hello? You also think Satan knows everything. People think Satan is like, is omniscient like God. He just knows. I told you, Satan cannot be compared to God in any way. Satan is not omniscient. Neither is Satan omnipresent. Satan is not everywhere. Do you know? You don't know? He's not everywhere. Satan is not here now. There is no devil in this building now. I'm telling you. How do you know? I know. Because no devil can survive here. I don't think Satan is everywhere. God met Satan in the book of Job and said, where have you been? He said, I've been wandering all over. He's not everywhere. He's just walking up. Are you still here this morning? Okay, well. So Satan. So first, you need to know that angels are not all knowing. They are not all knowing. They are not all knowing. As a matter of fact, sons, that refers to you, are higher in ranking than angels. In Hebrews chapter 1 verse 13, the writer of Hebrews talked about sons. Talked about, of course, Hebrews 1 is majorly a comparison between Jesus the Son and angels. He said, but to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make the enemies that he said, did he say this to any angel? The answer is no. Verse 14, he now said, are they not all ministering spirits sent to minister for them? So angels, we are sent to minister for the sons. Now, notice. Put up an NLT of this verse. When it says minister, it doesn't mean angels, we are sent, you know, to lay hands on the sons. Verse 14 rather. It says, therefore, angels are only servants' spirits. So what are they? Servants. So sons are higher in ranking than angels. You see why you get into trouble when you try to build your theology on angels. When some people see angels and then they lie down, say, I cannot behold your glory. What's that? Even when John saw an angel in Revelation and wanted to kneel down, the angel said, stand up. He said, don't worship me. He said, worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Don't do that. You get the point? And it now becomes more painful. It now becomes more painful when people are praying to angels, mentioning the names of angels in prayer. Now, you know, I was traveling one day and they were praying in the vehicle where I was, and at a time I began to feel strongly the manifestation of demons around me. Because the lady prayed to everything you can think of. She prayed to God the Father. She prayed to God the Son. I'm telling you, she was taking it one by one. God the Holy Spirit. Say, thank you, God the Father. Thank you, God the Son. Thank you, God the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Angel Michael. Thank you, Angel Gabriel. I'm telling you, she prayed to, I'm praying to the saints. Saints, this. I said, demons came. Hallelujah. No, you can invite, you think you're praying to God. See, that is actually, that's polytheism. Hope you know that. You know, right? Well, yeah. Polytheism, yeah. It means the worship of many gods. That's what it means. We are not polytheists. We are monotheists. We worship only one God. There is one God. Amen. Brother Mona, barrister. barrister as well. I deal with you. This church, the both of us. Well, but pray to everything. And Jamaica. And as a general rule. As a general rule, stop trying to know the names of your angels. I'll hit you at very next week or next week. Stop trying to know the names of your angel. In fact, there are only four angels who have their names in the Bible. No, is it four? Three. Number one is Michael. Number two is Gabriel. No, the third one? Lucifer. That's all. And the Bible says that in there is an innumerable company. When you get yourself into all this mystical whatever, you just allow demons to run riot in your life. That bearing that is angel. Chukwu Emeka. Angel. That is angel, angel. And I begin to hear a lot of crazy stuff. Souls are higher. You know, in Jesus the Son, look at this. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 4. You know Jesus is the Son of God, right? You see? What does that mean? Okay, Jesus is the firstborn, right? What does that mean? Huh? What does that mean for you? It means, don't say it. Very well. It means he's our prototype. He's what we look like. But the Bible tells us in Colossians 1 verse 15 that he is the firstborn. Colossians 1 15 use the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. But then Romans 8 28, let me show you. I'm driving somewhere. Romans 8 28. So Jesus is the Son. He's not just the Son, he is the firstborn. And being the firstborn means, it doesn't mean he's the firstborn and that you are the secondborn and that's the thirdborn and that's the fourthborn. No. It means first there is the Greek word prototokos. It means prototype. It means he is what we are like. Look at it. It said, and we know that all things work together for the good for them that love God. Verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. So who did he foreknow? Right? We, right? To be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn. So in Jesus being the firstborn, we are in his image, right? So whatever the Son is, that's who we are. Is that correct? That's the basic knowledge. That's basic knowledge. Then now go back to Hebrews chapter 1 verse 4. You see what the Bible said concerning the Son. Of course, the firstborn. Of course, us, right? Did you get it? And angels. He says, be made so much better than the angels, as he had by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. So Jesus has a more excellent name than angels. And I told you his name is our name, right? Very well. Verse 5. For unto which of the angels, he's asking a question. Did he say at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? Did he ever say this to any of the angels? So angels are not sons of God. I will be unto him a father, I shall be to me a son. Did he ever say this to any angel? Angels are not gods. Angels cannot look at God and call him father. They can't. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten to the world, he said, let all the angels worship him. Let all the angels serve him. When he brought in the firstborn. So if whatever the angels do for the firstborn, they do it for me too. Right? So angels are at my service. In verse 7, and of the angels he said, make it his angel spirits, and his ministers the flame of fire. Then verse 8, he now says, but unto the Son he said, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever, except of righteous. So he's trying to show us that in comparison, you cannot actually compare the Son with angels. Let's say we cannot compare sons with angels. So in ranking, we are still talking about the nature of angels. In ranking, sons are higher than them. Are you here? Sons are higher. You know, one question when I was teaching somewhere, somebody said, but the Bible said that we were made a little lower than angels. Have you seen that? Hebrews chapter 2, verse 5. You find out that actually that place the Bible said that man was made a little lower than angels, it was not referring to you, it was referring to Jesus. That because I've heard somebody say that was in the Old Testament. That because this verse was lifted from the Old Testament. That's verse 6. Now people said, well, that place, the Bible, when the Bible said he made him a little lower than angels, that the Hebrew word for angels in that psalm is Elohim. So what it says that God, he was made a little lower than God. Wait, stop that. Stop it. This angel is talking about. But the writer of Hebrew now brings light to it. Go back to verse 5. The writer of Hebrew now brings light. He said, for unto the angels Has he not put in subjection the world to come? Whereof we speak. So angels are not in charge of the world. Number 6. But what in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man. This was about Jesus. You'll see, find out that thou visited him. 7. Thou made him a little lower than the angels. Thou crowned him with glory and honor, and set him by the works of thy hand. Let's continue. Verse 8. I'll come back to this. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all his subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. Do you get the point? So when the Bible was talking about being made a little lower than the angels, it was talking about Jesus. Now what does that mean? What does it mean that he was made a little lower than angels? Go to verse 7 so we'll get the clarity of it. Verse 7 tells us what that means. Thou made him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownedest him with glory and honor and set him over. So he's saying, so what does he mean that he's a little lower than angels? He's talking about Jesus in his humanity as a man. Please don't miss this. As a man, he was made a little lower than angels. Put up like amplified so you see this. For some little time, you have ranked him lower than. Are you getting the point? It's not like he's forever. At that time, in his humanity, he was a little lower than angels. How? He's talking about in his body, in his flesh. But notice he didn't just stop there. He said, you crowned him. So when it comes to strength, man is a little lower than angels. Do you get the point? When it comes to our physical strength, that's why you cannot push down this building. An angel can. So when it comes to strength, but when it comes to authority, do you get the point? He said, you made ranked him lower than in the angels. You have crowned him with glory. Crowned with glory. Go to verse 8 and 9. Go to King James, please. Let's focus on 8 and 9 and pay attention. Look at verse 8. Thou hast done this man that was made a little lower than the angels. Everything was put under his feet. Right? So when he says a little lower than the angels, he was not saying in authority. Let's continue. For in that he put all things subjected under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. Verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. So how was he? Why was he made a little lower than the angels? So that he can die. Because if he does not take on flesh, he cannot die. Do you understand that? So that he will be able to die, he was made so made a little lower than the angels. So in being a little lower than angels, that means he took on flesh. So in our flesh, when it comes to strength, you get the point? We are a little lower than the angels. Strength. But then he was crowned with glory and honor. So what the writer of Hebrews is saying is Jesus took on flesh and became a little lower than. That's why you find the Bible say things like, and when he was tired and hungry, angels came and ministered to him. So angels were there giving him strength. But when it comes to authority, he was actually in authority above them. How do I put this now? In structure, he was a little lower. And so, what do they have? They have strength, right? In that, we are a little lower. What do we have? Authority. Which is better? So why do our servants need to have strength? So that they can use the strength to serve us. So the reason angels are made a little higher than us in strength is so that they can serve us. You didn't get that? Just like when you are a leader, when you are the president, I keep saying when you are the governor, you don't have to be very powerful. Like you don't have to be able to fight. You just have to be the president. And so you see soldiers, heavily built men following you. You are made a little lower than them in strength. But in authority, you are higher than them. So what will happen? They will use their strength and their aquobi and six packs to serve you. While you can move around with your pot belly serving the nation and eating money. You get it? That's the funny thing about government. You just sit down in your car, they're just there serving you. Sometimes you see the governor or whatever goes somewhere to drink. He just sits down carelessly. All the soldiers are on guard. They are positioned with their gun, fully loaded. The guy does not have one single bulletproof on his body. But all of them are fully guarded, with ready to fight. They are made strong to respond to his authority. I get the point. And so when we say angels are strong, you should understand that the reason they were made strong was for you. Hebrews 1:14. Let's look at it again. It says, are they not all ministering spirits sent for to serve, to minister for them? So the purpose for angels is man. Hey, you didn't get that. You know, I keep saying this. Some of you, why do you think God created angels? It wasn't for himself. I say this jokingly all the time. What do you think God needs angels in heaven for? Have you ever thought about it? To do what? To be singing for him? What else? To mop the house, sweep the mirror, make sure that the gold is shining. Bible said, are they not all the ministry spirits, they were sent to serve man, to minister for man? You see, when I taught you on creation, I said this: everything was made for man. Man was made for God. You understand it? Everything was made for man. That's why man was the last thing to be created. Everything had to be ready. And he now came. Everything. So angels, we are created to minister for man. To serve you. Serve me. It's not God. He said, but sir, angels sing in heaven. Very wonderful they do sing. I don't want to get into that debate. But why does God need us here on earth? It is actually man that God needs. You get it right? If God so much needed the angels, why didn't he die for them? The people that sinned, they rebelled, you know, right? Why did he die for them? It was still man he came, because it is man that God needs. It is man that will serve God. Hallelujah. I've told you, when the Bible says, Jesus was saying, if you don't serve me, I'm going to make the stones rise and serve me. You know that place? That was just figurative. The stones can never rise to serve God. Never. They can never rise to worship God. It was figurative of saying to the Jews, if you don't praise me, I'm going to raise the Gentiles to do it. You understand that? So that is man that does service to God. This man that praises God. God loves the praises of his people. And so he made angels for you. Are they not all ministering spirits? Let's just play with this verse. Different translations. NLT said, Amplify it, okay. Are not the angels all ministering spirits, servants, sent out in the service of God for the assistance of those who are to inherit salvation? It's for us. So that God doesn't really need them. God doesn't sweep main road. God doesn't polish shoes. When you see angels that are powerful, that excel in strength, that fight, you think God put them there so that nobody can come and invade heaven? Even do that? How many of you know the angels? Wow, my heart will shine. You know the angels don't see God. Do you know that? The angels have never seen God. Even when they were in heaven. The only time angels ever saw God was in Jesus. In 1 Timothy 3 verse 16. 1 Timothy 3 verse 16. Shamalega. 1 Timothy 3 16. He said, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. He was talking about, what was the mystery of godliness? God was manifest, talking about the coming of Jesus, right? justified in the spirit, seen of angels. It was when God was manifest in the flesh that angels saw God. And so you think God is protecting heaven so they cannot invade heaven? Who will invade heaven? Even the angels can't, they don't even see him. It was when Jesus came and for the first time they saw God. Do you understand that? What glory to God, you have seen God. Another song the choir did the other day, he said, no more veil, no more limitations. We now see Jesus face to face. Hallelujah. But I see him. But angels never. It was when Jesus came in the flesh. And now that Jesus has gone, they don't still see him. But today we stand before Jesus. Amen. He lives in our hearts. He lives in our hearts. So that goes to show you that angels were created to serve you. Created to serve you. Okay, let me take this a little step further. Why was Lucifer created? He was created to serve man. I'll just talk about this and then we'll wind down. Have you picked something today? And I was talking about how to keep devil at bay and all that. Why was Lucifer created? Why? You find out some people think Lucifer was created to be the choir master in heaven who was singing, and because his voice was so sweet. And so the question is, when Lucifer left heaven, who replaced him? They did the election and then Uriel took over. No, you know, sometimes these are things that people can assume, but the Bible tells us in detail about what actually happened in heaven. Two scriptures that describe that in the Old Testament are places like Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28. You've seen that, right? Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28. Actually, these verses were talking about physical kings, but it wasn't just about the physical kings. Okay, you find that it wasn't just about those kings. They were talking about those kings, but they were speaking prophetically about using what happened in heaven and with Satan to describe what will happen to those kings. You find it in Isaiah 14. Let me show you just two verses from there. Verse 12. I'll use those two verses, two chapters to explain what happened in heaven. So find out why Satan was sent, why Satan was created. Not Satan now. Why Lucifer? Isaiah 14 verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven? So this was talking about Lucifer, right? Is it very clear? You find that also in Ezekiel 28 verse 14, but I'm going to use these two chapters to explain it. Ezekiel 28 verse 14. 28 verse 14. He said, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. I have said thee so, that thou was upon the holy mountain of God. So he was talking about Lucifer and he calls him the anointed cherub. He cannot be talking to physical kings and he'll be telling them, you are the anointed cherub that covereth. I don't even get the point. So it seems that explains something. It was prophetic. It was prophetic. And so, look at verse 12 of this Ezekiel 28. Let me show you. Why was Satan created? Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus and say unto him, thus saith the Lord. So he found out it was the king of Tyrus, but in reality he was talking about, do you get the point? Thou sealest up the psalm full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Verse 13. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Oh. So where has Satan been, or Lucifer been all the while? In Eden, the garden of God. Right? Now, well, this is going to shake up your theology a little, but then I'm going to do it. Amen? Because the idea we have was, way before man was created, that there was a battle in heaven. And then after the whole battle, Satan was now sent down. You know, somebody asked a very sensitive question. And some of these questions are questions that atheists ask that we cannot answer and then they become atheists. He said, why would God put man in a world where Satan was already present? Do you get the point? But they find out that Satan was in Eden, the garden of God, before man came. He wasn't there as Satan. What was he there for? Hebrews 1 verse 14. Are they not all ministering spirits? What was he doing there? Go to verse 14. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. I have said thee so. Thou was upon the holy mountain of God. Thou walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. So Satan was in Eden, the garden of God, walking up and down. What was he there to cover, to guard? So he was there to serve Adam and to serve man. Do you get the gist? Put up like an out of this verse. He said, I ordained and anointed you as the mighty angelic guardian. You had access to the... So he was a guardian angel in the garden of God in Eden. Do you get the point? It wasn't in heaven that he was there. What? Do you think God needs protection? And so he was there in the garden. So that's why you find out when I keep saying this jokingly, that there was war in heaven does not talk about war starts that happened in heaven. You know what start? Did you do it? If you didn't do it, your childhood was boring. That did not shoot you. You didn't say, I have not finished dying. It's my hand you got. So, and I'm shot you as I was not dying. You know, there was an animal joke you did, and I can't, but you know, imagine now. Let's paint the picture of the war in heaven. The soldiers were coming. What weapon were they using? They were just pew. Angel Michael just stood. Come here, thou Lucifer, son of the morning, challenge me. And I said, I'm gonna destroy you. And what do you think heaven is again? And God will just sit down on his throne watching, say, yeah, my boys, daddy. daddy, well. Oh, there was war in heaven, quite all right. But it was figurative. Do you get the point? He was describing how Satan stopped his from being Lucifer to become a bad Satan. And he said, I ordained you. So he was in that Eden, the garden of God, specifically to serve man. Until in verse 15, iniquity was found in him. But before iniquity was found in him, where has he been all the while? In the garden of God. Did you get it? He's been in the garden of God. So God did not send Satan to Eden to go and tempt man and see how he was going to survive. The Bible said, let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. He said, why? For God cannot be tempted, neither tempts he any man. So while he was in the garden, iniquity, what was that iniquity? Go to Isaiah 14 verse 12. Iniquity was found in him. Well, people say, well, the iniquity was that he wanted to overthrow God. That, again, was not found in the Bible. Look at the iniquity. He said, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? Verse 13, let's continue. For thou hast said, let's see the iniquity, in thy heart, I will ascend into the heaven. This is what Satan wanted. That was the iniquity found in him. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like... He didn't want to overthrow God. He wanted to be like God. Do you get it? Verse 15. Yet thou shalt be brought down to the size of the pit. Go back to verse 13. Let's analyze what Satan wanted. For thou said in the heart, I will ascend into heaven. So Satan wanted to sit in the heavens. Doesn't that tell you he wasn't there? Are you getting me? Well, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. What are the stars of God again? The stars of God simply refer to angels. It's just the Old Testament way of describing angelic beings. You find that, for instance, in Job 38 verse 7. You'll find angels referred to as the stars of God. You get the point? Job 38 verse 7. We will come back to Isaiah. He said, when the morning stars sang and all the sons of God shouted for joy. You can check other translations. Like maybe Amplified will do. Okay, well, NLT has it. As the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy. So when he was talking about stars, he was referring to angels. So go back to Isaiah 14. So what did Satan want? He said, I would be above the stars of God. So he wanted to be placed higher than an angel. Well, he wanted more than being an angel. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. He now said, I will also sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Where is that? That's Zion. In Psalm 48 verse 1 and 2. I'm going to show you what Satan wanted. In Psalm 48 verse 1 and 2, he describes Zion. He said, great is the Lord and great to be praised. In the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. He said, beautiful for situation. He said, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Okay? So he refers to Mount Zion, a city of the north. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So go back to Isaiah 14. He's smiling. Praise God. And so Satan, Lucifer, said, I'm going to sit in the mouth of the congregation of the north. So, verse 14, next verse. He said, I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. And I will be like the Most High. This was his desire. You now find out that all these things he actually wanted, it was not God, it was envy. It was man. You get the point? Let me say this. Angels want to be like you. It was man, he was envying. Satan. Okay, go back to verse 12. Let's start again. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou called down to the ground which didst weaken the nation? Verse 13. For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. Ephesians 2 verse 6 says, we are seated with him in the heavenlies. And so what Satan desired was the reality of the new creation. Made us sit together in heavenly. The places is not there. Is italicized in Christ Jesus. So where are we sitting now? Where are we sitting now? Okay. Go back to Isaiah 14. Next thing he said, I want to exalt myself above the stars of God. So he wanted to be higher than the average, the normal angels. But that is what man has. Because Hebrew 1 told us that are they not that angels are mission spirits sent to serve us. Again, he said, I want to sit on Mount Zion. That's the side of the north. And the Bible tells us that we have come to Mount Zion. Do you get the point? And then he said, I will be like the Most High. Of course, you know, as he is. So what Satan greatly desired became the inheritance. So actually, it was man. He was envied. I'm going to show you, because Satan will never dream of overthrowing God. You cannot overthrow a man you have never seen. You get the point? But he wanted to be like God. He wanted to have some privileges. He saw the privileges around Adam. And he wanted that. A kind of liberty. The fact that God would be relating and interacting with Adam freely. Adam had authority to decide what was going to be. He named animals. He wanted that. And so he went after the man. Hallelujah. He went after the man. In my note I said, Satan wanted man's authority and his liberty with God. And so what did he do? He went after the very man, because that was what he wanted. So what did he do? He came to the garden, he deceived man. Well, I don't want to get into all that happened in the Garden of Eden. I have a series on salvation, part 1 to 6. Refer to the site www.henryonyedikachi.com. It's there, part you understand, right? A to Q, sorry. So you refer to it and get it there. It will bless you tremendously. But then, let me just tell you what happened there was that Satan, if I look at how Jesus gave the commentary of Satan in John 8 verse 44. Look at Jesus' commentary on Satan. That's why I keep telling you, it wasn't that, the issue was not that Eve or Adam ate apple. No, that wasn't the issue. Jesus said, you are of your father the devil. He was not talking to you. It's not you he's talking to, right? Well, and the loss of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. So what did Jesus describe what happened in the beginning as? Murder. Murder. So he killed man. Because of course God said, if you eat of this, you shall die. God called him murder. And how was he a murderer? And abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. So he lied to Adam. And then Adam believed the lie he told. That's why we keep saying that the sin of man was unbelief. Are you still here? If you don't understand the first message. So he lied to Adam. Adam believed the lie that he told. Adam believed the lie that he told. He deceived man. But let me show you one more scripture to explain this. And I said now. It's 2 Corinthians 11 verse 3. Just one more scripture to show what happened in the Eden. Paul gave a commentary on it. He said, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve. So he calls what Satan did to Eve deception. Through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. So what did Satan do to Eve? Corrupted her mind from the simplicity that was found in Christ. He was simply presenting an alternative to the word of God, and then Eve subscribed and believed it, and that became the sin. But long story short, what led me to this? Satan was sent into that garden to serve man. It was when this happened, if you get that Isaiah 14, it was when he said all these things, when he wanted man's authority, that he now came down. God now said in Genesis chapter 3, he said, from today, he said, you shall crawl. That's figurative, right? You shall now crawl. And I said, from today, the seed of the woman will pierce your head. It was that time that the fall happened. And so you see, the fall did not happen because he jumped down from heaven. He's been in the garden. So even, my point is, even Lucifer was not created to become a bad person. Neither was he created to be singing. He was created for you. Demons inclusive, they are created to serve you. It was in their attempt to rebel against God and to become like you, to have what you have, that they became bad. Well, something you take from this service, angels were made for you. Angels were not made for you to worship them. They were made to serve you. So till now, that's why I find that even Satan, thank you Father, even Satan till now, he cannot operate, he doesn't have an authority till now, because angels don't have authority. How many of you know that? Till now, Satan cannot operate anywhere. The authority he will still work with would be the authority of the person that has authority. It is us. That's why Satan cannot operate in a place unless a man wields his authority to him. Because he was never created to have it. That's why I when I was teaching you about how to keep the devil at bay, I told you my dad used to say that equensu means eque no su. If you don't agree, it's not going to happen. What it means is, if you don't give him your authority... Show me any idol today, I'll tell you it was man's authority that brought that idol into being. Man's authority. That is a story for another day.
man's authority. He can't do it. Angels cannot act because they have strength, they have authority. How do I explain that to you? It means if there is some, like when the governor is here, some, for instance, and then, okay, let me use what is happening in our country now. What people believe is happening. People, Easterners believe, I'm not saying this, I'm just telling you what they believe. Easterners believe that the killings that are going on in the East are still happening because the president has not acted towards it, right? They believe that if he acts towards it, that soldiers are going to swing into action and bring some of this headsmen issue down, right? Some of you believe that, right? Do you believe it? Whether you believe it or not, I'm just saying. Now, the soldiers have the power, the strength, the weapons, but they cannot, they don't have the right to deploy it, except the man with the authority says do it. So Satan has no right to act or to do anything in your family, even though he might have the power to do it. I don't talk about power today, because you see, find out, well, let's leave that. Even though he might have the strength to do it, but then you have to allow it. It is your authority that he works with. The power, the authority that Satan started running the earth with was Adam's authority that he bequeathed to him. That's why E.W. Kenyon would tell you that the sin Adam committed was the sin of treason. Get to the point. It was man's authority. You know, when Satan met Jesus in the temptation, he said, look at all the earth they've been. He said, all these things have been given to me. So who gave him? Was it God? No, it was man. So till today, Satan's authority is your authority. It is man's authority. Show me any way Satan is messing up or doing whatever. A man uses authority to let those things be. Hallelujah. Angels are created to serve. Even Satan was created to serve. Just that he's a dismissed servant. You see, I normally tell people, you know why I'm not scared of Satan? Satan is not just my father's servant. Or my servant. He's a servant we have sacked. You get the point? Demons are servants that we have relieved of their duties. They were not competent enough. That's why you can't see me stand. I'm scared of Satan, demons doing this. If you understand the origin of Satan and how he became that Satan he became, you will know that this guy is a servant that rebelled and my father fired him. So when I stand before Satan, I'm standing before his former boss. He's standing before his former boss. I can still say move. I cannot still move because till now he is a man without authority. That's not about Satan. Let me round this up. So this shows that even till today, you still have power, authority over Satan, over demons, and over angels. Next week I'll start showing you that, I'll be next week or next 2 weeks or so as we progress, I'll start showing you that angels are as powerful as they can be, but they cannot do anything except the one with authority asks them to do it. They can't. They'll ask questions like, what were angels doing when this happened? They were waiting for you. I'll open that up as we progress, because angels were created to serve you. So angels serve me. Hebrews 1:14 for the last time. Are they not all ministering spirits? So these beings were created with so much power, so much strength, so much might, so much abilities. I don't want to get into the ability of angels so that somebody may not get carried away and start getting excited and start expecting rubbish. But these guys have abilities, you know, right? They have abilities. They can move in a split of second. I can show you this in the Bible. They can appear in different forms. The Bible have called them the stars of God. They've called them fire. You know, right? Stones of fire. When the Bible says this one was walking in the midst of stones of fire, it was referring to angels. These guys have made fire. But all these things, they were made. Whenever I teach on the nature of angels, I try to show you how powerful they are, so that you can actually understand that they were made all those things
because of you.
Hallelujah. Because of me. Angels serve me. Angels serve the sons. And I am a son of God. Hallelujah. And so whenever you learn about angels and you end up glorifying angels in your mind, you've not learned well. When you learn well about angels, it should help you see Jesus better and help you celebrate your sonship in Christ. Because these we are beings sent to serve you as a son. So I'm a son of God. A son of God. I'm a son of God. I'm a son of God. Hallelujah. And like I said when I was starting, you know, when the choir was singing, they said, it's already done. Everything is prepared. I think there's a line that said that. Everything is prepared. Everything is done. And that's how it happened in creation. God already put these angels who will be at our service on ground before we arrived. We came in. It was a grand entrance. Everything was set. And then we came. How you get the point? Everything was set. By the time I get to what angels do for you, you will realize that even the solution to your problems, they pre-existed before you came. Angels were already on ground with provision, with protection, with all these things before man was ever created. They were already on ground. So when I teach on angels, I want you to see the love of God. I want you to see the fact that God sent these beings to serve you. And if you can allow this to open up to you this month, you will see why we talk the way we do. You will see why we act the way we do. You will see where confidence comes from. You will see where confidence that we can never be hurt comes from. That's where it comes from. Because there are angels. The Bible says in Psalm 34 verse 9, it says the angels of the Lord encamp around those that fear him. Say me, say angels are working for me. Say again, he said angels are working for me. One last scripture before we go. I said we're going to look at that, right? Hebrews 12. We started from there. Let's get back to 22. You know, when you understand that angels are your servants, there are some songs we sing. I'm not saying they are bad, but some of them are not necessary. You see, since the angels worship him, I'll worship him. Who are angels again? They're not the models. Angels are saying, you are. It's not a bad song. You're just saying that. But why are you saying it? You think God enjoys angelic worship more than the worship of songs? No. No. Bring it home. Nobody, no father will enjoy the praise of servants more than the praises of his own children. Think about it. When the servants are serving him, we can even call it hero worship. They're just doing it. But then when the son comes, you need to know that God loves it when you praise him. Hope you know that. It doesn't make him more God. Hallelujah. But you know, just like the father, when your son comes to you as a father and say, daddy, you are the best, it doesn't make you more daddy than you have been. You've always been daddy, but then you just love to hear that you are the best. Let's say we join the angels to worship you. Stop that. Just worship him. I'm not saying yes. It's not bad, okay? I'm not saying that if you say it, but I mean, just worship him. We the sons have come to worship you. We the sons have come. We the sons have come. Hallelujah. We the sons have come. Hebrews 12:22. But we have come to Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. Here we are. Hallelujah. Here we are. We have come to angels, but not to worship them, but to receive of their service. Hallelujah. We have come to angels. We've come to angels. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that there are servant spirits for you? Aren't you glad that spirits are empowered to serve you? Aren't you glad about that? Hallelujah. Stand your feet wherever you are.
We have come to Zion. We've come to Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. Great company of angels, not one, not two. They were made many, gathered all at once, to be able to serve you. To be able to serve you. To be able to serve you. Think of how many, maybe I'll touch this next week or next 2 weeks. Think of how many angels there are. That after Satan caused the rebellion with all the angels that followed him that are now demons, there are still enough angels to reach out to everybody. And God did not make this, have to settle in your head. God did not make these beings for himself. God was not looking for people that will serve him, and he looked for angels. It is you he came for. Let me say this, and then we'll pray and round up. Somebody raised an argument, and it was a Satanist. You know Satanists? You know Satanists? People who are advocating for Satan. Have you met them? There are people in this world, though. You need to start seeing human beings. And the guy said that God was being unfair. That the same sin, in fact, that man committed a bigger sin than the angels committed. But that when Jesus came, he did not die for angels. He died for man. And I told him, you are actually very correct. A lot of people said it. He said he did not take upon him the nature of angels. He did not. He did not come to die for them. That shows where his value really is. Angels are there to serve. Servant spirits. Not serving God as it were, but serving me. Next week I'm going to start showing you what they do for you. You find them all over the place. You find them in provision. They provide food for Elijah. You find them in protection. You find them fighting battles. You find them in different ways. But all of them were made for you. You even find them playing a role in salvation. Not to minister salvation, but you will salvation next week. Get the point? You find them coming into some situations and preparing the way. Sometimes you pray and pray for souls to be saved. They will go and arrange situations and bring the person to you and play those roles. That's why the Bible said, they said to minister to those who shall be heirs of salvation. Look at all that next week. Say, angels are working for me. Oh, say, angels are working for me. Say, I have come to Mount Zion. I have come to an innumerable company of angels. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory. Talk in the Holy Ghost.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.